We're going to talk about marriage today, but not human marriage, not the relationship between you and your spouse, not the relationship between me and my spouse. We're not going to talk about human marriage today. We're going to talk about the greatest marriage ever, the marriage between us and Jesus Christ. Because Scripture tells us an awesome thing. Scripture tells us an incredible thing. Scripture tells us that we, the church, are the bride of Christ. Would you please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Would you pray with me, please? Would you take a few moments now and pray that God would help you understand our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Would you take a few moments and pray for Trinity Baptist Church as a whole, that through this passage we would understand our identity, we would understand how we are loved, we would understand who the church is and who we are called to be, and our relationship with our Lord. Now would you please pray for me? I have one job this morning, and my only job is to communicate to you what the Holy Spirit through Paul was trying to say. Pray that I could do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for the answer to these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We're going to jump right into this because this is so beautiful. I want you to know who we are. We are Trinity Baptist Church, but what does that mean? What does it mean to be the church? Who is the church? What are we exactly? This passage tells us. Number one in your notes, Christ is our head. Christ is our head. We are, Trinity Baptist Church, we are the bride of Christ. Look at 22 and 23 again. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church. What does that mean? What does it mean that Christ is the head of the church? First of all, it means that Christ is the life source of the church. Christ is the life source of the church. If you cut off my arm, I can live another 40 years. If you cut off my leg, I can live another 40 years. If you cut off my head, I am dead instantly. Christ is the head of the church. He is the life source. Please keep a bookmark in Ephesians 5. Do not leave Ephesians 5 until we leave this room. Keep a bookmark in Ephesians 5 and join me in John chapter 15. It will not be on the screen, so please turn there. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, says Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The fact that Jesus is the head means we get our life, our nourishment from Christ. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, or I am the trunk of the tree, and you are the branches. The branches get their life from the trunk. The branches must be connected. The branches get their life from the trunk. Trinity Baptist Church, we are connected to Jesus. He gives us life and nourishment. Christ is our head. But in Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, Christ being our head means something more than that. In fact, I would say the main thing that Christ being our head means is this. Christ is our authority. Christ is our authority. He is our leader, and we are his followers. He is the head. Colossians 1:18, behind me on the screen, Jesus is also head of the body, the church. And Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Jesus Christ himself will come to have first place in everything. Just as in human marriage, the husband is the leader of the home, so Christ is the leader of our church. We are the bride of Christ. Christ gives us life, he gives us nourishment, and he leads us. Christ is the head of our church. Christ is the head of Trinity Baptist Church, and Christ is the head of the entire church around the world. Please look at verse 22 again. Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Number two in your notes, Christ is our Savior. Christ is our Savior. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 10, behind me on the screen, says this. You've only got 10. I'll read 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed, verse 10 behind me, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus is our Savior. He abolished death. He saved us from death. Jesus is the Savior of the church. And we wait eagerly for our husband to come get us. We wait eagerly for our husband, Trinity Baptist Church. Look at Titus 2 behind me on the screen. Titus 2, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is our husband, and we are waiting for him to come get us. Look at Ephesians 5:24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The Greek word subject, as the church is subject to Christ. The Greek word subject is a very important word in the Bible. It appears many, many, many times. It should be on the back of your notes. It is the word hypotasso. Hypotasso. And it means to arrange under. To arrange under. It's a military term in Greek. A military term used to arrange soldiers under the authority of a commanding officer. Trinity Baptist, Christ is our husband, we are his bride, and we are under his authority, and there is no better place to be. Ephesians 1:22, behind me on the screen, says this, and he, God the Father, put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus Christ, and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are under Christ's authority, and there is no better place to be. The wife is under the authority of the husband in Christian marriage. And if the husband is selfish, prideful, immature, difficult, angry, that position can be a challenge for the wife. But if the husband is loving and selfless and godly and Christ-like, and loves his wife and truly loves her with a self-sacrificing love, the position under his authority is an incredible blessing. We are under the authority of Jesus Christ, and he is the best husband in the world. There is no better place than to be under the authority of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you are not under his authority, if you have not subjected yourself to him, if you have not arranged yourself under Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you're not under Jesus, you're in a very dangerous place. Being under Jesus is a beautiful, beautiful place. Number three in your notes, we are subject to Christ. We are subject to Christ. And being under Christ's authority is a beautiful place. And let me show you why. Look at verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Trinity Baptist Church, we are under our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a great honor and privilege to submit to our husband because he loved us and gave himself up for us. The Greek word gave himself up is a very, very beautiful word. The usual word in the New Testament for give is the word didomai. Didomai means give. This is not that word. This is the word para didomai. It's a combination or what we call a compound word. Didomai means to give. Para means beside or near. I am beside this pulpit. I am beside this pulpit. I am para this pulpit. Didomai means to give. Para means beside or near. The word in Ephesians 5:25, give himself up, is in your notes. It is para didomai, and it means to give into the hands of another. To give over. To give over. This word is used many, many times in the Gospels, and it's used when Judas is the subject. Judas gave over Jesus to be crucified. The Greek word is para didomai. Judas gave over Jesus to be crucified. And what's beautiful about Ephesians 5:25 is it tells us that our husband Jesus loved us and gave himself over for us. Ephesians 5:1-2 says the same thing. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave, para didomai, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Galatians 2:20 has the same Greek word too. Number 4 in your notes. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Why did he do that? Why did Christ offer himself? Why did Christ give himself up? Why did our husband sacrifice himself for us? Was he trying to accomplish something? Look at verse 26. I'm sorry, 25. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us so that he could sanctify us. That was what he was trying to do. Sanctify means set apart. Sanctify means set apart. When a husband chooses a wife, what does he do? He sets her apart from all the other women in the world. On February 3rd, 1996, I set apart Julie for me. There is no other woman in the world that I have decided to love like I will love her. I have set her apart to love her, to cherish her, to nourish her, to protect her, to provide for her for the rest of my life. There is no other woman in the world that I will do that for. And when Jesus, our husband, died for us, he set us apart for himself. That doesn't apply to every single person in the world. It only applies to the church. Jesus has set us apart for him. We are his bride. He is our husband. He set us apart, but it means more than simply set us apart. Sanctify means to purify, to clean, to cleanse. Jesus set us apart from the evil, corrupt, sinful world so that he would cleanse us and purify us and make us his holy people. What a beautiful privilege. Look at verse 26 again. Verse 26. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. How does Christ clean us? How does he purify us? First of all, he purifies us with his word. He purifies us with his word. When we hear the gospel and respond in faith, we are cleansed. Jesus said in John 15, verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jesus said in John 17, "Sanctify them by your word." The word cleanses us. The gospel of Jesus Christ cleanses us. And when you hear the gospel and respond in faith, the Holy Spirit comes into your hearts, you are born again, and you are cleansed. You are purified. Christ cleanses us by his word. Christ cleanses us by his Spirit. When you hear the gospel and respond, you are saved. You are born again. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart and sanctifies you. He sets you apart from the world and he purifies you. He cleans you. He cleanses you. That's what happens. In Bible times, they had a beautiful custom. Beautiful custom. In the Jewish culture, in a Jewish wedding in Bible times, before the bride was presented to her husband, she took a bath. It's called the bridal bath. Before the bride was presented to her husband, she took a bath and then she dressed in her wedding clothes. And Christians, we do the same thing. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We are born again. The Holy Spirit does an awesome work in our hearts. And then what do? We're baptized. We're baptized. We go down into the water and we are baptized. And our baptism symbolizes the work that Christ has done in our hearts when we are saved. Christ cleanses us by the washing of water with the word. Titus 3:5, behind me on the screen. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Number 5 in your notes, Christ sanctified and cleansed us. Christ sanctified and cleansed us. What was his ultimate goal? What was his ultimate goal in doing that? Does he have a future purpose in mind? Look at verse 25 again. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Christ our husband loved us and gave himself up for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be holy and blameless in his sight. And that is what you are right now because of Christ. You are holy and blameless in his sight. Your sins are completely washed away. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But he has a future goal in mind. He has a future goal in mind. Christ wants us to truly, actually be free of sin. That's why he came. He wants his bride to truly be without sin in every conceivable way. And one day, Christ will return. Our husband is going to come for us. Those of us that are still alive will not go before those who have fallen asleep. But there will be a glorious resurrection, and those of us who are dead will rise and receive new bodies. Those of us who are still alive will be caught up together, and we will meet our husband in the clouds, and we will be with the Lord forever. And the awesome thing about that is we will truly be holy and without spot or blemish and beyond reproach. And that's his whole purpose. We will finally be the spotless, pure bride that he called us to be. And that is why he died for us. Our husband loves us. Not because we are lovable, but to make us lovable. That's his purpose. Number 6 in your notes, Christ will present the church holy and blameless. Christ will present the church holy and blameless. Look at verse 28. Ephesians 5:28. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. Christ nourishes the church, and Christ cherishes the church. The Greek word nourish is ektrapho. Should be on the back of your sheet. Ektrapho. And it means to nourish up to maturity, or to nurture up to maturity. Same Greek word is addressed to fathers in Ephesians 6:4, behind me on the screen. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, ektrapho, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's what our husband does for us. He nourishes us. He nurtures us up to maturity. Christ cherishes the church. This is an incredible Greek word. This is an incredible Greek word. Christ cherishes us, the church. The Greek word, also on the back of your sheet, is thalpo. Thalpo. And it means to keep warm. To keep warm. In this verse, it means to cherish with tender love. Paul uses the same Greek word in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. Look at 5 through 7 behind me. We never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Or did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority? But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Tenderly cares is the word thalpo. It means to keep warm or to cherish with tender loving care. That's what our husband does for us. Christ cherishes us. He nourishes and cherishes us. There's a beautiful book in the Old Testament. It is the book of Ruth. It is the story of Boaz redeeming Ruth. Boaz redeems Ruth and becomes her husband. And that's what our husband does. He redeems us and we become his bride. Please turn to John chapter 3. John 3:25. John 3:25. Therefore there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples, that's John the Baptist, John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John the Baptist and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you've testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. I love this. John the Baptist came to point to Christ, right? John the Baptist came to point to Christ. Christ comes and he says, look, the Lamb of God, that's him, follow him. So John's disciples come to him and said, Rabbi, everybody's following him. And this is John's explanation. Look, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. He's talking about Jesus. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. And that should be the motto of your life. And that should be the motto of mine. He must increase, I must decrease. From now on, Trinity Baptist Church, may that be the goal of your life, and may that be the goal of mine. Every single day, more Christ, less sinful Dave. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, by your sovereign grace, according to your incredible, marvelous, gracious plan from the foundation of the world, you sent your Son to choose us out of the world to be his bride. Help us be that bride. Help us live a life worthy of that calling. We present ourselves to you today as Trinity Baptist Church. We await our husband. In his name we pray. Amen.